welcome to The Underground, the official podcast partner of Glee 2025. I'm Phil Wright, and together with my co-host Kate Turner, we took our podcast booth to the Glee show in Birmingham to capture a snapshot of the industry and take the pulse of what's going on in the garden sector right now. We asked each of our 20 guests one simple question. What's one change you'd love to see in the garden sector over the next 5 years? The answers paint a picture of optimism, resilience, and hope.
Hello, I'm Libby Stubbs, and I'm currently doing marketing and communications for British Garden Centres.
Yeah, hello, I'm Amy Stubbs. I'm Managing Director of British Garden Centres.
So we're going to finish off with the question then, which we're asking all our guests over this week, and that is, what's one change that you'd love to see in the garden sector over the next 5 years?
Oh, for me, I think it's got to be bringing younger people, and not even necessarily just younger people, people that aren't in the industry, into it and understand how important it is for the planet and also for people, because I think everybody would agree that seeing some greenery makes you so much happier. I think we're actively looking to do this through social media, and it's been such a big tool that's been presented to us that I think, from my point of view, is something that we really need to grab a hold of and use to our advantage to, spread the awareness, really.
Absolutely, yeah.
For me, I think similar to that, but I think it's also hopefully getting the wider government to understand how important our industry is. We are such an amazing industry, and we're so important to the UK in so many different ways. And I think trying to get recognition for some of that importance would be really good.
Absolutely, I totally agree with that. And it's not just about recognition that, you know, it's good for you, but it's economically as well. We're bringing a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. We're keeping a lot of people in jobs.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
I'm Kate Evans, and I'm the Commercial Business Manager for Woodlodge Products.
So what's one change you'd love to see in the garden sector over the next 5 years?
A younger consumer.
Right.
Okay. Because our industry is lovely. We are really lucky to work in the garden sector. You know that as well as I do. But that younger person needs to be able to experience that garden destination centre or even your local nursery. And that's what I would like to see, is a younger consumer coming through those doors and not being afraid to ask questions, what plants they should be having, having fun buying pots.
Absolutely.
You know, we need it. We are an amazing retail sector compared to High Street. We have huge opportunities, free car parking in most of the places. That younger consumer is what's needed. It's going to take a while, and they don't have a huge amount of money.
No. Or green space.
But we need to help them on their journey through their working life. And I think garden centres are able to do that.
So my name's Helen Thomas. I work for Plantworks. I began within the science team within the company, but fairly quickly moved to looking after the Southeast region sales. And now I do a little bit of marketing and also still involved in the sales for the Southeast. So over the last few years, obviously it's a lot of changes within the industry. We had the pandemic, we had that period where everybody was trapped inside, but possibly the only silver lining was that people became more aware of their gardens, of their houseplants. People began to engage with things like grow your own, which is absolutely fantastic, and also younger people. And I'd just love to see that momentum continue, really. Get more young people, get kids involved, get teenagers involved, get students, get people involved, because it is a fantastic thing. It's brilliant for your mental health. It's brilliant for meeting people, social connections. It's just a fantastic community. And I would love that to just continue to grow, really.
Thank you.
So my name's Lee Connolly, and I'm the children's gardening coach, once the skinny jean gardener, and I get children and schools and parents excited about gardening and connecting through the power of gardening. Oh, one change I'd like to see in the garden sector would be for more brands to invest in children's gardening and schools. Okay. I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Okay.
I'm Nigel Thompson. I'm the head of sales and marketing at Sipcam Home and Garden. I'm tempted to say something along the lines of a little bit more predictive and progressive weather. So, you know, getting warmer, getting lighter, yeah, getting sunnier, and then having a nice curve rather than it being a jagged mountain shape, yeah, in terms of...
Gosh, you need a big magic wand for this one.
Yeah. I think that would be... That's obviously out of our control.
Yeah.
I think... Seeing younger people gardening as well, not just your children, but, you know, teenagers and people in, you know, 20s and 30s, I think, because I think they're going to be really interesting when they become the core gardener.
They?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Hi there, I'm Peter Burks. I'm the Chief Executive of the Garden Centre Association.
So we're going to finish with asking you, what is one change that you would love to see in the garden retail industry over the next 5 years?
Some way of controlling the weather.
Someone else said that. Don't think that's going to happen.
No, and also that would be a disaster, wouldn't it? Because everybody would want something different.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
I always say that's just as well. It's not controlled by the politicians, isn't it?
That's why we love the UK.
Yeah. One change in the industry. Well, I would have to say again, I would want to see it somewhere around education. So if we can pull more things together that will educate the shop floor teams.
Right.
That to me will be a big thing.
Brilliant.
Which we are working on within the GCA. So.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm Boyd Douglas Davis, Managing Consultant of the Boyd Partnership here at Glee, with a number of hats on. One of them a strategic advisor to Glee itself, but also I've got a number of clients both exhibiting and visiting. So a busy 3 days. One change. I would like to see a stronger funded education program for new people. Doesn't that always be, I'm not talking about young people, but new people who want to join our industry. Yeah. We are sadly lacking in any funded training.
Yeah, right. That's very true.
And back in the 80s when I was at Pershore, there was a lot of us on those courses at Pershore. Yeah. They just don't have the funding now to be able to draw people in.
Yeah,
and yet
so
places
courses,
like Pershore are still there and they could offer great courses. So the next 5 years, I'd love to see. So when you join this industry, you can actually enjoy some funded training.
Hello, I'm Natalie Boynton. I am one of the founders of the Young People in Horticulture Association. I also run an annual plant nursery with my family called Happy Plant, which is up on the northwest coast.
Hello, I'm Meg Warren Davis. I currently work for the RHS, but I'm here on a YPHA capacity. I'd say be open to change, really dive into, like, see what you can do with technology. Get your plants in an app, get your plants on anywhere they can be. See if you can find different ways of selling, really develop your marketing strategy, if there's any way that you can, you know, reduce the, like, the cost, your costings, to increase your own margins, to if any weird interesting ways, look to the tech industry. See what they're doing, look to all these other different industries, and really try and take what they're doing and apply it to your own business in some way.
That's great. That's great advice.
Similar vein, at the HDA conference about six years ago now, there was a speaker called Ken Hughes.
Right.
And he spoke about how the customer that's coming is a blue dot on the map and everything orients around them. They don't get to Blockbuster and they say, oh, actually, you can't borrow Die Hard 2 because Phil's rented it out. You know, they're used to instant gratification. They want to watch something, it's there. Yeah. They order something, it's there. And we... Garden centres have an advantage of being experiential, as long as we keep them experiential.
Yeah.
But it is exactly as I said before, really. It's be aware that your customer that's coming is very different. And I think they are. But yeah, like Meg says, don't be afraid to think outside the box, to step up to where that customer needs you to be.
I'm Vanessa, Vanessa Cranford from Spring Marketing. I'm the founder MD of the business that was established in 2005.
What is one change that you would love to see in the garden sector over the next 5 years?
I think a lot with AI, actually. I think there's a lot of platform for that. And I think particularly perhaps, and this could be invested into apps perhaps, and speaking with suppliers, but for, especially because there's a new audience coming in, I think a younger audience that might, you know, not have as much trial and error opportunities for budget or mm-hmm. for time. Yeah. So it's looking at perhaps bringing in the AI of where we know that their home is. So what's their soil conditions? What's the environmental area, you know, the weather conditions, the climate, mm-hmm. the position of the sun. I mean, all of those things. I mean, it could be a bit, I don't know, out in the sky somewhere. But I just feel that somewhere there's some element that AI could be helping people in gardening more.
Oh, I think absolutely, yeah. I think AI is just being able to draw on so much information that you just can't, you know, a single person or a database just can't do. You know, it's that entirety of information that it has that it can draw on. It's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Just don't do me out of a job too quickly.
No, I think definitely. I mean, we were talking, I can't remember who we were talking to.
Empathy.
Yeah, empathy. And I think that their response is correct. You know, that there's still the requirement for people
absolutely.
And knowledge.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But AI can just help improve and plug the gaps.
Yeah, I think the input to AI is coming from the, you know, humans, but obviously their interpretation to then perhaps pull that data in richly. But that's just my opinion.
My name's Aaron. I am the managing director of the Evergreen Agency. Oh, one change I would like to see. To be really boring, I would like garden centres to actually realise the opportunity that online presents, regardless of their business type. As I said, whether you're online or whether you're more bricks and mortar, the opportunity that online presents for this space, for this sector, the garden retail space, is so incredibly untapped. It is like Pandora's box of an opportunity. And as a marketer, I can see it, because what the garden retail space is yet to do and is on the cusp of doing and just starting to do post-COVID, many other sectors did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And in that respect, it's a huge opportunity. So the next 5 years, we're going to see it. I know we're because we're already seeing it, but more and more garden centers, garden retail brands embracing that and just starting to explore it would be amazing to see.
I'm Barry Knight. I'm managing director of a company called The Full Range. We are a UK-wide food procurement company specialist, and we help lots of different sectors to buy food and beverage from a number of regional and national wholesalers UK-wide. More specifically in garden centre world, we work with around 55 independent garden centres. Well, it's an interesting one. So I think if I go back to the change and the evolution of garden centres and the food journey that they've been on, the really interesting thing for me is what does that look like? What does the next stage of that look like? You know, you have fantastic spaces that have great parking, comfortable, you know, dining, you know, great kitchens that are well equipped. You know, it'd be really interesting to see if that ever breaks into a nighttime environment. I don't know if that would be a desire for a garden centre owner, but local collaborations with, you know, chefs that could come in and take over a kitchen, because, you know, a lot of local chefs will not have the kitchen space that a garden centre will, you know, so what could they come in and do and, you know, bring that nighttime audience, you know, to garden centres. I haven't seen a lot of that yet, but it would be really interesting to me to see if there was the opportunity to do that, even through collaboration, not a 7-day nighttime operation, but, you know, could it evolve into regional collaborations once a month that, you know, that introduce
like supper evening type thing, special events.
To me that would be a natural evolution for food that would further cement food as, you know, a real, that it is already, but, you know, a real key element to
I love that, because what we've seen with a lot of the big gardens, so Wisley and the RHS gardens, that they now do in the winter, they do these big light shows. And whenever you go there, there's always food stalls and everything like that. So that is a a potential for garden centres to generate more income around Halloween, Christmas.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think there's real legs. There's real legs and legs for that, definitely.
Maybe we can catch up in a couple of years and see if it goes anywhere. It'd be really exciting, though, I think. You know, just with the space, as I say.
It's the parking, isn't it? That's such a big thing. Free parking as well.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to grab some garden centre owners.
I'm Michael Perry, also known as Mr. Plant Geek, and really, I'm a plant promoter, and I'm here at Glee Birmingham with my Future Plants display, which has 100 plants on.
So we are asking all of our guests, what is one change that you would love to see in the garden retail sector in the next 5 years?
Ooh la la. I'm always a big fan of living labels.
Okay.
Have I talked about this before? Living labels?
I'm not sure you have. Well, not with us.
It's really like, if you look at plants like, I don't know, like hydrangea groundbreaker, for example, it's like, you know, when it's in flower, it's beautiful. This whole fountain of blooms and stuff. Yeah. But it's not really cost effective for everyone to grow a big, to buy a 4-litre pot, which is in flower. You know, that's quite a bit. So why not have one of those in the centre of the display, and then you've got babies that you buy around the edge. This could work really well for bedding, particularly things that don't really flower in the pack, because we want everything to flower in the pack, in the six pack, to then look good on the garden centre bench. And some of that stuff is treated with chemical in order to make it flower. Why not encourage living labels where you don't have to treat anything with a chemical, because it doesn't matter what it looks like when it's a young plant, which applies in mail order. You don't worry what a plug plant looks like in mail order. You don't want it to arrive with a flower on.
No.
That's the last thing you want,
absolutely,
to be honest.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, like, why don't we kind of twist, you know, change it all around on that? So. Okay. I don't know. That's one thing I think, living labels. But also, I don't know if you know Rijnbeek Perennials, Dutch company. They're kind of almost, they've done an amazing thing, actually. I want to show you some pictures later. But they've got like a stand which has like, it's kind of got this upper layer and a lower layer. And their plants are perennials, all sold in 9-centimetre pots. So quite small.
That's small,
but very cost effective for the consumer. Because planting big doesn't always get your head, as we know. But they actually have ones in the top that kind of like, you can then like almost, well, they actually will send it out set up. So all the plants are kind of mixed up. So it looks like the garden display that you're going to actually create with the 9-centimetre pot of plants.
Nice,
but very simply done. Yeah, and just merchandise before you get it. I think living labels is really what living I would labels. Love to see.
That.
So yeah,
nice idea.
I guess everyone else says stuff about sustainability, etc. But this is actually... This is not so obvious, but this would happen.
And change gardening.
Something that can happen, but something that has a big knock-on effect of like, then you're not using chemicals.
It's more sustainable.
Then you're getting bedding out the door quicker. You're kind of like, you're doing something that is better for the consumer. They're able to buy potentially, you know, plants that are not, you know, sterile even, because you're growing a range of different plants that you don't have to worry about. All those things that grower worries about, fitting something on a Danish trolley.
Yeah.
So,
brilliant.
Could be cool.
I'm Reverend Dave Walker. I'm co-owner, actually, of Ballymore Garden Centre. I own it with my my son, William.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A respect for independent garden centres.
Okay.
They are on their own and they're tough. And, and it's usually family-owned and things like that. Without them, that community bit is going to get eroded. So, and we're going to see more and more independents perhaps fold. So it's like, how can we support them, you know, and how can we help them grow? So I'd like to see more support on independents. And that's also from the banks as well. You know, so I'll be talking to one or two of the banks saying, look, you need to get behind these. There's been financial studies done that every pound invested into a community engagement project contributes £10 to the local economy.
Goodness.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we can get that right and help support these independent garden centres. Yeah. So, I suppose, as we started earlier on, I think I'm going to be the Jeremy Clarkson of the independent garden centre world.
Lovely. I want to see that TV show.
Okay, I'm Tony Kersey. I now work for GEMA. I'm the membership ambassador. So I'm here to look after existing members and bring on prospective members.
What's one change that you would love to see in the garden sector over the next 5 years?
A continuation of development. Development and innovation is the lifeblood of any business. So I'm championing companies to come back to probably year after year with newness,
right,
but with a focus on sustainability, because many, many more regulations are coming in around waste and the usage of recycled materials. So my view would be focus on sustainability within your innovation program.
Yeah, hi, I'm Belle Richardson and I'm inventor and founder of SealStop. So my answer is going to be really skewed because of my background, but I think we need to make it easier for people to save water. Right. So more emphasis on water saving techniques, more products in that ground. Because like I said, this issue isn't going away. It's only going to intensify.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, people love their gardens and they should be able to appreciate it and love them. So if we find better, cleverer technology to make that easier and use less water, everyone's winning.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name's Kaz Edwards. I'm the National Sales Manager for the Heart of Eden brand. I'd like some clarity on the peat ban. I think for my sanity, everyone's safe. Yeah. So, genuinely, I think that would be the one change that I would like to...
You're not the only one that said that.
No, absolutely. Just some certainty. Because, you know, people have to adjust, you know, and I'm not talking manufacturing necessarily, but retailers, growers, it's far-stretching.
Yeah.
And it's can be a relatively easy adjustment, but people need notice and clarity. Yeah. So that's what I personally would like to see.
Brilliant. I like that. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dan Durston. I'm Sales Director at Durston Garden Products.
Hi, I'm Simon Blackhurst. I'm Horticultural Consultant supporting Durston's and Chairman of the Grower Media Association. I won't say a peat ban. I would say that we don't talk about peat or peat-free anymore.
Yeah.
It's just growing media.
Yep.
And, you know, for retail, it shouldn't contain peat anyway.
Yep.
Done. And professional, that's another issue. We talk about that and we do that in a different forum.
Yeah.
But it would be lovely not to keep arguing with people that peat-free does work.
Yeah.
Because that's quite frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, all I've spent my horticultural life on is peat-free.
Yeah.
It does work. I know it works.
My garden proves it.
Yeah, exactly. All my plants, etc. Yeah. You know, so that would be really lovely not to have that uphill struggle when you're having a conversation.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And then we don't have to put it on the bags anymore.
Exactly.
As you said, it's just growing media.
It is, exactly. Yeah.
I was just going to say along the same lines as what we were saying, and that is to get in a minimum standard
expectation. Yeah, so the Grow Media Association has relaunched this week. That was reported in Hort Week. The standard's out there now in terms of all the technical growing media manufacturers to have a look at. It's a draft for comment.
Right.
We'll be looking to get that implemented as soon as we possibly can now. I've been working on that with a number of industry experts for the last 12 months, and that'll give us a baseline. So that no products can go onto the market that don't perform as good as peat.
Right.
End of.
Would be great.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? And that's the aim.
I'm Steve Harper. I'm the Managing Director of Grass Gains, and I'm also the Chair of the Responsible Sourcing Scheme. I guess this won't surprise you because of some of the things that I've said, but I want to see less smoke and mirrors.
Right.
I want to be less marketing and actually get products to do what they actually say on the tin.
Okay.
Gardeners deserve results.
Yeah.
And we risk losing gardeners if we don't give that. So we need to set them up to win.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. We were talking before the show, and I'm going to be careful about how I phrase this, but we were talking before we came on air, and we were discussing particular plant food brand, which has claims on the back, which clearly are not true. And, you know, it's things like that which just are confusing the market rather than helping, aren't they?
And absolutely true. And that brand, without naming names, when I've been talking to people today and saying, you don't need potassium, and they're going, but such and such has got lots of potassium. You show me it's got lots of potassium, and it says on the back of the pack that it's for peat-free compost.
Yeah.
And I said, that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
We are setting the consumer up to fail at this point in time, and we need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a tough one. Good luck with that.
Thank you. I'm Paul Oliver. I'm the founder of the Urban Nature Store. We're based in Toronto, Canada. We have a chain of 10 wild birding nature stores, as well as a very active online retail operation in Canada. And my role in the company is chief bottle washer and everything from marketing to HR and that. But we have a fabulous, fabulous team that I work with, and they're the front line that work with all our customers. And I wouldn't be here if it weren't for them doing my work back there.
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
The UK has certification standards for environmental and things like that. They mean a lot to people here in the UK, and they understand them.
Yeah.
Less so in Canada. And it's either partnership with similar organizations, so that if it's certified in the UK, it's certified in Canada, or if it's certified in Canada, it's in the UK reciprocal, so that we know that if Greenpeace approves of something here, they approve of it everywhere.
Right.
And so that's probably one area that it's not so much for industry to do, but the groups that do it to work with their partners around the world, so that it means something to a customer in Toronto that it's certified by an organization in the UK.
Yeah.
So that whether you're a customer in Leeds or you're a customer in Halifax or in Toronto, when you hear something is certified, the wood is sustainable.
Right.
It means something to you. And it's the same within, even within Canada. There are three or four or five or six different organizations that may certify something. Mm-hmm. And if we had one or two organizations or overriding organizations that if it's certified in the UK, it means something to Canadian consumers.
That makes sense. That really does.
Yeah, my name's Simon Taylor from Empathy. And I head up sales and marketing in the company, specifically on the retail sector. But yeah, for me, I mentioned it a few times because it's what we do. But we watch programs and on TV, watching farmers, soil health, reducing chemical inputs. I shouldn't be doing this or I should do that. And they're given solutions. And the solutions quite often are technology, which includes soil microbes and mycorrhizas and this sort of thing. And the word biofertilizer was adopted from that, a product that improves plant, that has a living organism to improve nutrient use efficiency. And for me, when a consumer goes into a garden center after watching Countryfile and Soil Health, and they go, well, what are the farmers using? Because all I can see is fertilizer in here, which is chemical. Mm-hmm. And for me, over the next 5 years, I want biofertilizers to be mainstream. And do you know what? I wouldn't mind if one of the big companies said, here's our biofertilizer, because we put a hand up and said, the reason you did that was because of us.
Yeah.
Because we started the trend. We know what we're doing. And so I'd be happy for that to happen. I'd be quite proud, actually, if in 10 years' time, when a consumer goes into a garden center and buys biofertilizer by default, not because they're choosing to.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's what everybody does.
Because it should be what everybody does, or should be doing. So.
Yeah.
Good morning. I'm Paul Playdell from Playdell Smithyman. We are design and business consultants, and we help people to add value to their businesses in the garden centre and rural development sector.
I'm going to do that classic thing. If you ask me for one, I'm going to give you two.
Okay, we'll allow that.
Yeah, a bit like Desert Island Discs. Can I take two of the discs with me? Looking forward for garden centres over the next 5 years, two things I would love to see changing. One is uncertainty, and uncertainty is crippling everyone at the moment.
Yeah.
It's really, really tough, and we need to get past that.
Yeah.
We need to. We're a confident industry. We're confident in ourselves, but we need to, in the wider sector, both nationally and globally, we need to overcome uncertainty. And the other thing I would love to see in the next 5 years, which is quite an easy one to do, I enjoy it, we all enjoy it, is everybody smiling. Because if everyone's smiling, things are going well. So that will be my parting shot.
Oh, that's a really lovely one.
Yeah, let's get everyone smiling. As an industry, we can do that. We're a lovely industry, so let's all get out there and smile.
Please do subscribe, like, and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It only takes a moment, and it helps us to make this podcast possible. If you found the episode useful, do spread the word and share it with your colleagues. Signing up to our mailing list at theunderground.fm will mean that you'll receive insights and news all about new episodes straight to your inbox.
The Underground Podcast is produced by Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency for home and garden brands. The production at Glee doesn't happen without a team of people behind it. So my thanks goes to Matt Meehan and Katerina Albanese from the Glee team for their help and assistance. Technical production was by Paul Withers, and their production assistant was Josh Wright. On-site videography was by Ben Holmes, and graphic design and marketing support was by Claire Appleby. The podcast booth was constructed with the support of Toby Noyce of Extreme Graphics. And of course, my thanks goes to my brilliant co-host, Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. Thanks for listening.